Well, quite a surprise tonight. I've always appreciated the thoughtfulness of the church. It'll have always been better to me than I have ever deserved or could ever deserve. And you're better to us as a staff than we could deserve. From you pay us well, you give us health insurance that's out of this world, you provide retirement. It's just a privilege to work here. This is my fourth staff to be on. I was a youth pastor for 14 years and was in three different staffs. Is my mic on? I'm sorry. Sounds a little bit loud. I'm sorry. Just a little bit loud for me. If you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 5. Believe it or not, I'm going to get finished close to on time. With the emphasis on the close. I want you to look at two passages tonight. Acts 5 verse 40. We were scheduled tonight to look at Acts 5:40 through Acts 6:15. But I want to take and switch it from deacons to pastors just real quickly. Notice it would in verse 40, chapter 5. To him they agreed. Gamaliel gets up and says, look, if these guys are real, you better leave them alone. If this Jesus is real, I would just leave him alone. But I want you to notice these people that have gone after him and they claim he's alive. They're fishermen. They're nobodies. The only thing they have is they've been known, they've been around Jesus. But if he's not real, if he's not the real thing, it's going to come to nothing. Well, it didn't come to nothing. Because Jesus was real. And these 11 men that walked with him took the characteristics of Jesus Christ and tried to implement them into their own lives. There's a Peter here with a violent temper. James and John that want to call fire down from heaven. There are people that are known for their volatility in this group. Yet you're going to notice in verse number 40, to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. These are fishermen, tax collectors. You'll notice now in this case, the fishermen, they beat them. Notice what happened. They commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. They figured that'd take care of it. Remember, this morning I spoke about the scourging. Well, they beat them. Jewish way, 39 stripes. Verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. They became the modern day pastors and evangelists and missionaries. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Titus chapter 1. And I want you to see what Paul, under the inspiration of Scripture, began to teach that a pastor is supposed to be like. And then I want you to see how this happened literally in Acts chapter 11. I want you to notice, if you would, now, I get to work with these guys, these four guys, every day. And I want you to understand something. Of the four staffs that I worked on, it was just not true that everybody had a heart for the Lord. Everybody wanted to please the Lord Jesus. I know that Sam loves the Lord. We all have our quirks. I have them. Every one of them does. But we're working to be like Christ. Not to be an example to you, but to try to please the Lord. And I have no words to say how much I appreciate Brother Brandon's heart for the Lord. Brother Scott's love for Christ. Brother Jeremy, I know he loves the Lord. Wants to please the Lord. Brother Sam. Brother Sam's got this difficult job of working with students and trying to keep the education up. And yet, I mean, what kid likes homework? What kid likes to be in trouble in the principal's office? And yet all of them do their jobs. They work at them. But the thing I appreciate the most is their heart for the Lord. And I want you to understand something that's priceless. If you're a husband today, I hope you can take that example and say, I want to have a heart for the Lord. I want you to just see the requirements to be a pastor. But don't you want to see one little fraction here of Titus chapter 1, verse number 7. Verse number 7, for a bishop must be blameless. The desire is that no one can point a finger and say, well, you do this or you do that, and it be true. You cheated or you lied, and it's true. They try to do the right thing every day that they're here. I'll tell you, that's without price for a church family. You can trust Brother Brandon, Brother Scott, Brother Sam, Jeremy. You can trust those men because they are real. I heard a lot of people get up here and say, I watched them. When I first came to the church, there was a man who came up to me and said, I'm watching you. Now, the former pastor, they had an issue with money, and he left, and half the church left with him. And then I had one man come up to me and said, I'm watching you. And you know the joy that I had in my heart? I looked at him and I said, look, I'm going to try to please the Lord with all of my heart. You're welcome to watch. I guess several years ago, maybe 5 years ago, took me out to lunch. 26 years later, he said, I don't have to watch anymore. 26 years he watched me because of the last pastor. You don't have to do that with these guys. And I'm thankful for that. They're real from the first day. You're welcome to. Because when you're trying to do what's right, it doesn't matter who watches. It's a good thing because you can build a good testimony. You can say, oh, I'd like to be like that. I'd like to be like that. I know every one of them love their wives with all their heart. I know every one of them treasure their wives. They have good marriages. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that they're real from the inside out. Notice, if you would, in verse number 7 of Titus 1, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. They're not in it for the money. But I want you to notice verse 8. A lover of hospitality. A lover of people. I want to help people. I see the notes when I grin on a, I don't know what day it is, Tuesday or Thursday or Friday, but I see Sam writing notes to all the children in his class, getting ready to send the cards out. A lover of hospitality, a lover of people. Notice what it says, a lover of good men. I see Brother Scott, he loves to build young people into godly men. I'm very thankful for that. And Brother Brandon loves to have be around people that are in Awanas. He's trying to build young men and young ladies. He's trying to build godliness. It's the passion of the heart is to help people grow in the Lord. And then notice, sober, just, holy. I know that Brother Jeremy has a holy heart. I see him out. I know he loves the Lord. Sober-minded. You'll never hear a dirty joke from any of them. They're real. And I treasure that. Because I've worked around where it's not true. I don't think unless you've been around some of those other places where you had to watch, you had to be careful. I am thankful that if your children grow up to be like Brother Scott or Brother Brandon, Brother Jeremy or Brother Sam, you've been privileged. And I'm thankful for that. If you have a marriage like them, you've got a sweet marriage. And I'll close with this. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 11. This new church in Jerusalem is looking for someone to go witness and help these young Christians that have been saved that are scattered abroad. Look, if you would, in verse number 20. And some of this, excuse me, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose out of Stephen traveled as far as they'd give to all these different places. Well, notice in verse number 20, and some of them were men of Cyrene, Cyprus and Cyrene, which were, when they came to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So in Antioch, all these people hear about the Lord and they get saved. Because these people are running for their lives, but they're real. They're godly. They have people that they're just. They're holy. They're like the call, the requirements for preachers in Titus chapter 1. They weren't preachers. Stephen wasn't a preacher, but he was killed for preaching. Everybody in this room, you ought to have the same qualities as required of a preacher. Now, some cannot because of their past, but you can still have the same qualities. Maybe you don't fulfill all of the roles, but you can have the same qualities. You can be just. You may not have been just 20 years ago, but you can be now. And you may not have been a lover of hospitality 20 years ago, but you can be now. You may not have been blameless 10 years ago, but you can be now. The past is not what defines you. And you'll notice, if you would, verse 22, the tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas. They heard about this young group of people in Antioch and said, we got to send somebody out of our church. And they looked around and said, who can we find? You know, I wish we could find 100 men like Barnabas. 100 women like Eunice. People in Scripture that were real are examples for us to look at. And I am thankful we've got good men on the staff that love the Lord. And notice what happens when good people do what they do. Verse 22, then the tidings of the things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas. Now, I don't know how this happened, but somehow they talked to Barnabas, or Barnabas said, look, I'd be willing to go and try to help those people in, I'm not a preacher, but I'd be glad to go and help them. I don't think part of Barnabas was a preacher. He was a Levite. We know that. But he wasn't necessarily this preacher person. And remember, he owned land, so he had not been doing the things the Lord wanted him to do until everything got straightened out in Acts chapter 4. And he sold his land, gave the money away, got his heart right, began to grow in the Lord. And notice, if you would, in verse 23, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all. He began to exhort them, to encourage them, to lift them up, that with purpose of heart, they would cleave unto the Lord. You know, that's what I'll urge you tonight. That with a purpose of heart, you would take your life and say, Lord, I want to be like you. I want to be close to you. I know these four men have a heart to be just like that. Well, notice, if you would, verse 24. For he was a good man. Good here, agathos, is an intrinsically good person. Someone good from the inside out. Are we all good from the inside out? I know if I go to Brother Brandon and Brother Scott and say, you know, have you done this or did you do this? And they said, oh, I didn't do that. They'll look right at me and say, I am sorry. I'll take care of that right now. In other words, they're not too good to apologize here, to apologize to each other. Good from inside out. Are you, are we good from the inside out? Notice the next one. And full of the Holy Ghost. Do we yield ourselves to the Lord and say, Lord, I want you to fill me and use me? That's what the Lord wants for all of us. Men, women, If you're filled with God's Spirit, God guides and controls your life and uses you in ways that you cannot imagine. But you've got to get your own heart and life cleaned up and say, Lord, whatever sin is in my life, search me, O God, and know me. Try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. David had it right. Why was it that David was a murderer and an adulterer, and all of a sudden he throws all that away and says, Lord, I'm sorry, search me. I was wrong. I'm wicked. Lord, would you forgive me? And he says, I want you, with your heart, to serve me. David said, okay. And you read in the book of Acts, it was his heart. Are we good from the inside out? You can be starting today forward. And you can be filled with God's Spirit no matter the past. Lastly, and faith. A pastor has got to have faith in people. He's got to believe that that person can be something. A good pastor always believes in his people that they can have a good marriage. They can walk with the Lord. But do you know he lied the other day? I know, but he can still walk with the Lord. I heard it from somebody that said it. I think it was about Brother Scott. He doesn't give up on people. And Brother Sam too. I want you to understand something. To have somebody that has faith in you, that God can use you if you let Him have your heart, it is without price, because every once in a while, all of us come to a place where we say, I don't know if I can make it. And you need a pastor that says, you can make it. I'll pray with you about it. I'm for you. And there are people that have had hard pasts. As a pastor, I'm not worth anything. Oh, yes, you are. Starting today, you put your trust in the Lord. You say, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. God can use you. It's not too late. And I want you to understand today, no matter where you are. Now, our goal, having a great youth pastor and his wife, is to help our children grow up clean to where they can do anything God wants them to do. But our goal is to say, everybody, forget the past. I know you own land, Barnabas. I know you were not doing the commands of Scripture for a Levite, but you got that right. Would you go and tell these people? He was a good man. He was full of God's Spirit. And he said, I believe they can be all they can. I believe they can be a great church. You know that church at Antioch, it was the first place people ever heard the word, those are Christians, because they began to act, look, and talk like Jesus Christ. And the world said, they're Christians. They're like that Christ. That's what I want us to be. Christians. We act, talk, look like Jesus Christ. That's the purpose for everybody here. Are you like Christ? Let's bow our heads for the prayer this evening. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and maybe one of the examples of one of the men has touched your heart, and you could come to this altar and say, Lord, I want to have that characteristic. Lord, I want to be like that. Now, none of us are perfect, that's for sure. But you can want to be with all of your heart and say, Lord, help me. That's the best we can give to Christ. Maybe you struggle with something. Maybe you're struggling today. I don't believe any marriage has to fail. Ever. I'll never believe that. Not as long as there's a God in heaven. I don't believe anybody here in this room has to be at odds with somebody else. I don't believe that. I believe the Lord can take care of it. I don't believe anybody in this room God is finished with. I believe God can use you in a mighty way. But do you believe that? Will you surrender your heart and say, Lord, use me. Fill me. I'm yours. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.